Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the May 11th meeting of the City Council. Let the record show all council members are present, and we'll begin with a moment of silence. Thank you. We have a special treat tonight to lead us in the pledge and then entertain us with a song. We have the Morro Bay High School Choir, led by Colleen Wall. They have just come back from some rather impressive wins in competitions, and so we thought we would treat the community to a little bit of what won them those awards. So, Colleen, would you like to bring your group up? And let's all rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you so much for the opportunity to take part in your meeting here tonight and just to acknowledge what the students have been doing at Morro Bay High School. We're extremely proud. And just Reader's Digest version here. We have been working hard this year. This group is the Chamber Choir, and they do two different styles of music. They do traditional choral and also jazz. And so we went, in the last 6 weeks or so, we've been down to the Fullerton Jazz Festival and also competed in the Central Coast Choral Festival here at the Performing Arts Center at Cal Poly, where we received an award of excellence from the judges. And then about 10 days later, we took off and went to London and participated in a festival at the Royal Academy of Music, and where we received the highest score. And we're incredibly proud of... Sure, go ahead. The students performed well and represented the community so well, and just you would have been proud of that. So we'll just give you a taste here today, a piece that we love singing and hope you enjoy. It's called Daniel, Servant of the Lord.
God had said, residential mortgage financing, purchase and refinance mortgages, conventional mortgages, government, which is FHA, and VA mortgages, as well as public employee retirement type programs, CalPERS and CalSTRS programs. I wanted to talk a little bit today just about the Morro Bay market. I was able to get some statistics from some local real estate agents on what's happening here in the area. And so far for 2009, there have been 30 homes sold, and there are currently 13 pending. In 2008, at this point, there were 36 sold homes. So sales are about the same as they were last year. The price per square foot, it seems, has come down just a little bit, about $10 a square foot, but not too bad. Talking about more about home sales side of it, about a third of the overall sales 2009 have been short sales and REOs or bank-owned properties, and in 2008 it represented about 20% of the sales. So now we're at about 33% this year. More homes selling, but more of them are short sales and REOs. On the mortgage side of it, interest rates are still very good. You can still obtain a 30-year fixed mortgage on a conventional financing, 20% down. It'd be range in the area of about 4.5% to 4.75%. So interest rates are still very good. Predominantly, what I'm seeing in the market is mostly first-time home buyers that are coming out and taking advantage of the lower values and great interest rates. Majority of my business is FHA mortgages and first-time home buyers. They're taking advantage of the $8,000 credit that's available to them for being a first-time home buyer through federal tax credits. And California also has another one, if you're not aware of it. It's a $10,000 credit for first-time home buyers for homes that are brand new, never been lived in. So potentially they're up to $18,000 in tax credits for first-time home buyers. So that's primarily what we're seeing in the mortgage end of it. And FHA financing, you can put as little as 3.5% down. In our area here in San Luis Obispo County, the loan limit is $687,500. You can go up to and put as little as 3.5% down through FHA. And interest rates on FHA are at about 5.5% or 6% to go that high. Otherwise, if your loan amount is under 417, your interest rates are still in the high fours or very low fives. So that's pretty much what's happening in our market. I don't know if there's more questions. Sometimes when you're in the industry, questions are a little bit different from what the public is looking for compared to what my knowledge is every day. So I don't know if anyone has any questions as to what's happening in the market. But as I said, for Broadview Mortgage, we are a direct lender. We have several branch offices throughout Southern California, main office being down in Anaheim area, which is where we're from, my wife and I. But Broadview Mortgage is a direct lender. We do about close to $80 million a month in mortgage purchase financing and refinancing, and including reverse mortgages. We do about 300 mortgages per month. So we're a pretty well-established company that's been around for about 25 years. And we're happy to be up here in Morro Bay with a branch office.
Okay, and tell us again where your office is located.
We're at 1203 Main Street. We're at Surf and Main Street, where the Bay West Insurance office is at.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here. Okay, other announcements. Let's see. When the Broadview Mortgage goes away, if the Mermaid and Pirate poster could go up on the overhead. There we go. Just want to remind everybody, this Saturday, our second annual Mermaid and Pirate Parade. We're going to be checking people in down at Target Rock, right in front of the rock at the beginning of the Harbor Walk at 10 o'clock. And then the parade starts at 10:30. It's going to be led by the Mud Skippers. And if anyone was at the fundraiser Follies and saw Camille doing her pirate number, she's going to be leading the parade, hook and all. And then we're going to end up at Dockside 2, where there's going to be snacks and prizes. Everybody who enters gets a goodie bag, so it's for kids from
handheld, which we had a baby in arms mermaid last time, all the way up to age 12. So hopefully you'll come on down and either participate or watch the parade. Should be a lot of fun. I think that's it for my announcements. Betty?
I attended two water meetings in the last couple of weeks. The Department of Water Resources from the state had their workshop, and one of our staff members was there, and we attended the meeting to talk about water purveyors and our participation in the water state water project and where that may be heading. And last week
on Morrow Strand, the Ingomar, when that came ashore, that was something I don't think any of us like to see as far as the amount of trash and debris that had come up, along with the beautiful ship tearing apart. But both Councilmember Borchard and I were out there, along with representatives of our Harbor Department, Department of Fish and Game, and State Parks. And initially, the concern was that the tide was going to come up and wash that debris further throughout our coastline and cause even more problems. And I would guess Carla, as well as myself, for sure, were impressed with the coordination that went on between those groups, and the cleanup was able to take place in a really impressive way. And I also just wanted to express my appreciation to the number of residents and beachgoers that offered to help in a volunteer capacity and actually did follow through the following day to help sweep the beach and pick up any remaining debris. So that was very heartwarming to see the amount of care and passion that people expressed and the numbers that offered to be a part of the cleanup effort if the the insurance part of the cleanup didn't follow through. So very exciting, and again, it's really obvious how much passion there is for our beaches, and it's good to see. Did want to do a quick shout out on another note for the election that's coming up May 19th, Tuesday. There's still some time for you to get more information online, and the County Clerk of Quarter always has great details about some of the different options that we have here, and again, I would just express I think from the whole council our hope that people do get out to vote and participate with this election, which is an important one. Let's see, the last thing, I'll embarrass myself really quickly. Put my other hat on here and encourage you all to put yours on as well if you have one and get out there. This is Bike Month for the month of May, and there's a lot of exciting things happening throughout the county, including here in Morro Bay. During the week of May 18th through the 22nd, four of our local coffee shops will be giving free Java during that whole week to any rider that brings a helmet in, and those shops are Morro Bay Coffee, the Rock Espresso Bar, Bayside Cafe, and actually those three, excuse me. And really the goal is to encourage anyone who hasn't ridden a bike in a while to get out and try it as a alternative mode of transportation in a very simple way. It doesn't have to be very far or very long, but it's just an opportunity to rediscover the bicycle or just celebrate the bicycle. So if you would like more information about that, you can go to rideshare.org or call 781-1385. There's a lot of events out there that are going on in promotion of this. And that's it.
Get
I'll take
the
helmet off.
Not as cute as Noah, sorry. I just have two things.
We should all wear ours for the budget hearings.
Yes,
on
there you go. We should. I just would like to thank Jeannie Brantley and her group yesterday for the Pooch Pageant. It was wonderful down at City Park. It was very well attended, and it was a great time. Lots of dogs out. Looked like probably maybe 100 dogs there yesterday. It was wonderful. She did a great job, and everyone who helped. And remind any of the hoteliers who are interested in participating in applying for the advisory seats coming up for the bid that has been approved. I would encourage you to get your applications in, and we will be doing interviews at our prior to our meeting on the 26th. So I hope that anyone in the hotel business, or we have openings for citizens at large, please turn in your applications at City Hall.
Okay. Yes, the Pooch Pageant was a great success, and also the car show. Appreciate all the people that worked on both those events. We're both very successful. I think we have another person in the audience who's going to be biking to work. Supervisor Gibson, I believe, has accepted a challenge from Supervisor Patterson on this topic. And would you like to chat with us as well?
Your Honor, thank you very much. Bruce Gibson, your 2nd District Supervisor. And actually, I got myself and now Councilman Smuckler into this by talking a certain amount of trash to Supervisor Patterson. He has for many years been a great supporter of biking to work, and he's had the Make the Grade ride, which goes from Santa Margarita into San Luis. And I've pointed out to him on a number of occasions that that's a really noble accomplishment to ride down the Cuesta Grade. And I'm merciless in needling him about this. And I told him that this year we're going to bring a youth movement in from the coast. And told him we're going to show him how it's really done. And I immediately talked to Councilman Smuckler, talked a little trash to him, but I'm over that now. I'm going to be right behind Noah all the way into San Luis Obispo. That ride is scheduled for Wednesday, May 20th. And our thought is we're going to gather at the Morro Bay Coffee Company, and correct me if I get it wrong, but the coffee company right by the roundabout. I think we're going to launch at 7. Supervisor Patterson says we better be on our game because there's breakfast down at the agency. And later this week, actually, we're going to continue the discussion, looking at ways in which we might improve the transit efficiency between Los Osos and Morro Bay. There are a number of smaller transit operators in this county. All of us, all transit operations are under pressure with declining state revenues, and we're looking forward to seeing what we might be able to do to improve service and reduce overhead and try to make the whole public transit issue work better. I've got a lot of ideas, and a lot of folks have offered me ideas in creating a transit system that might connect Cayucas, Morro Bay, and Los Osos and all in a very interesting way. But we'll be carrying on that conversation. And finally, I didn't expect, but was absolutely charmed to see Morro Bay High School here. It reminds me, as I'm sure has been celebrated at your council, why they were named a California Distinguished School. I have the great honor that in this county this year there are only two California Distinguished Schools, both on the North Coast, Morro Bay High and Santa Lucia Middle School up in Cambria. Both of them have been granted a resolution from the board. Presented the one to Santa Lucia, and I'm understanding somewhere in the near future I'll be attending an assembly at the high school here to present the congratulations of the Board of Supervisors. But seeing those students here just reinforces what a great program they have going, and it's a pleasure to be here. So with that, that's my report. Pleasure to see you.
Thank you.
Happy if you have questions.
See you in another month or so.
Okay, we'll look forward to it.
Thank you. Before we do other announcements, we have a couple of proclamations that I would like to pull off the consent agenda so that we can give them to the people that are here to receive them who have other appointments, too. So with council approval, I would like to have you approve A2 and A3.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, let's start with, let's see, we got Biz Steinberg, who is here, I believe, for the... I didn't meet you down there. Okay, we have a change of name here. Right? Okay. So that's part of what this proclamation will tell about. I'll just do some highlights and then you can speak about it. This is Community Action Month. Whereas the Economic Opportunity Commission of San Luis Obispo, EOC, was established by congressional decree, incorporated as a nonprofit organization on December 9, 1965, and whereas the EOC's name has changed to the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo County, Inc., to better reflect its role in the national network of community action agencies that focus their collective energies on addressing the issues of poverty in local communities. Be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Morro Bay does hereby recognize Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo County as the new name of the county's official community action agency and proclaim May 2009 as Community Action Month. And there you are.
Delighted. Thank you so much. Mayor Peters and members of the council, thank you so much for the recognition of our new name. We are in transition right now. We just got the official word back from the Secretary of State for May 1st. We would love to invite you to our open house this coming Friday from 3 to 6. There'll be some, I guess, a little bit of speechifying around 4:30 and a ribbon cutting by the Chamber of Commerce. And then lastly, I just need to thank you. Your city has been here for the people who need our services in many different ways. I am particularly pleased to see the commitment of this city toward the 10-year plan to end homelessness, and just appreciate first Betty being on the Leadership Council, and now Mr. Grantham is taking over. And, of course, we love having Rick represent your city on the board of EOC, now on the board of Community Action Partnership. So thank you so much. I do have two Morro Bay residents with me who happen to be my chief financial officer and the Head Start director. Ladies can wave. Anyway, I just want you to know you have residents here, too. Thank you.
Okay, and then the next one, if I could have Herb White and Eric Endersby come up, please. Okay, this is a proclamation declaring 2009 National Beach Safety Week is May 17th to May 23rd. And I'll read a bit of this, and then you two can elaborate as well. Whereas for reasons of public safety, an annual reminder of the joys and hazards associated with the aquatic environment are appropriate at the commencement of the busy summer beach season, and whereas residents and visitors must remember to never swim alone, always swim near a lifeguard.
Our program has participated in it, and we're going to kick things off here with a barbecue this Saturday night, and there'll be public safety information as well as activities for kids, and there's an optional barbecue and raffle if you'd like to attend. So basically, I don't know what too much put Eric on the spot here. He wasn't planning on attending, but that's all I have to say, and I really appreciate your time tonight, and you guys have a good meeting. So, Eric, anything else you want to add?
You're right. I was totally unprepared to say anything. I just want to thank Herb. Herb comes from a lot of experience, 30-plus years of state lifeguarding and ranger experience, and he's brought a real new energy and a lot of experience and wealth of knowledge to us, helping us with both the junior lifeguard and our lifeguard program. He's been very helpful with the Lifeguard Academy, which we just ran these last two weekends, independent of Pismo Beach and Port San Luis, which we've done traditionally over the years. So I just really want to thank Herb for stepping in and helping me and my department out.
Okay, other staff reports. Fire Chief, how's everything in Santa Barbara? Our team got back, I understand.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Yes, they did. I'd like to welcome our engine company back, Captain Jeff Olson, Engineer Bill Murphy, Firefighter Mike Daly, and Firefighter Mike Anarud. They had a fairly eventful time while they were down there. They got the call 5:30 or 6 o'clock on Monday evening and spent the next 5 days down fighting fire and then eventually doing the overhaul and mop-up, which is less glamorous but still needs to be done to make sure every ember is out. The night of May 6th was quite an exciting night for them. They spent 24 hours up fighting fire and saving homes, and so they were quite successful in their endeavor on that occasion. So we're welcoming them home. I did want to mention another thing having to do with H1N1 swine flu. So far in the county over the last couple days, there have been no new cases that have been reported through the county health department to all the cities. The total of the confirmed and probable remains at 9, and all of those are still associated with the Grizzly Academy. I think they did an excellent job at containing it on site. They did have a couple of people that went out there that also got it, but they were able to manage that appropriately, and all of those people are recovering. And most everyone has recovered with just rest, hydration, control of temperature, nutrition, the normal things you would do for the flu. So we're fortunate that this hasn't been a more violent case of the flu. With that, I'll turn it over. Oh, I just want to mention, too, we have been fairly busy at the fire department. In fact, Saturday night we had five simultaneous calls that kept us hopping there, and on a couple of those we had to send medics into the hospital to help with the care of the injured and sick on those. But continues to be a fairly busy run-up to the summer.
Okay. Commander Olivas, police report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, Council. To start off with, we had Over 500 calls for service since the last council meeting, 21 arrests, 35 citations, approximately 84 warnings, and we had about 5 incidents in the city where we only had one officer to respond to calls. To start off the month in Morro Bay, we were part of the successful car show event, which even though there was a threat of rain Friday night for the crews, it was very well attended by participants and visitors alike with no incidents. And on Friday and Saturday, we sent several officers also to the fire down in Santa Barbara as a request from Santa Barbara Sheriff's Office. We sent officers Thursday, Friday, and 2 officers on Saturday and Sunday to assist with the evacuation and the protection of the property down there. And this last Saturday night, Morro Bay Police Department participated in the Hotline Bowl-a-thon up in Paso Robles for the 211 number for the county's 211 hotline. And we were recognized as having an individual on the team that raised the most money that evening for the hotline. So that was exciting. And I just wanted to praise the audience and the council members alike of the memorial events this week to honor officers who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. And during this past week, I'd like you to take a moment at some time during your day and pause for the 10 officers in California who lost their life in 2008. And to pay tribute to these brave men and women, there was actually a memorial caravan, the Central Coast Caravan, which we left on Thursday. And for a little history, that was actually started 16 years ago by our Sergeant Norm Smith here at Morro Bay Police Department, and has continued on being hosted by the police department. It was taken over by our very own dispatcher, Pat Line, approximately 10 years ago. So we went up and participated in a caravan from the CHP station in Sacramento all the way to the state capitol, where the governor and several dignitaries honored the families and thanked the law enforcement officers there for their service. Locally within this county, this Wednesday at 9 o'clock is the Peace Officer Memorial in this county.
And the city slips at Tidelands Park. As to all 3 items, no action was taken that requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Okay, and then we need, before public comment, to add an item to the agenda under the emergency rule, and it's a resolution finding a severe fiscal hardship regarding state funding if it's taken away from the cities. We need to have a 4/5 vote to do that. I'm going to let Andrea give us just a little background on that, and then we'll discuss it when we get to new business.
Thank you. Basically, on May 5th, the Department of Finance announced that it had proposed to the governor that the state borrow over $2 billion in local property taxes from cities, counties, and special districts to balance the state budget, obviously causing deeper cuts in local public safety and other vital services. The mayors in this county met last week and decided that they would like to try to, or they would pass a resolution finding a severe financial hardship that would exist if these city property tax funds are seized and taken by the state of California. As a result of that, we're asking the council tonight to add this item by a 4/5 vote, excuse me, and that's Resolution 2309. I will tell you that if the council does approve this tonight, we will be the first city in California to adopt this resolution. There are others. There are 30 other cities right in line in the next few days to adopt this resolution as well. In this county, the city of Aurora Grande, the city of Grover Beach, and I believe the city of San Luis is moving forward to adopt a similar resolution.
Okay, so I would like to offer a motion that we approve Resolution 2309 as an emergency item to be discussed during our new business this evening.
Sure.
Any discussion right now? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Now we will start public comment.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, staff, and those people at home. My name is Keith Taylor. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I want to talk about the Ingomar, the tall ship that went down. That was leaving from Ventura to go to Oregon, and it ran into problems on Sunday and basically sank. On Monday, I was looking out my front room, and there was the boat bobbing along with the 3 masts, and so I called a regular harbor, and he told me I know all about it. So the next day, it ended up on the beach at Azure, and there was a Patriot Environmental took care of this, and they hired the local people, D. Garcia, and they brought an excavator and 2 front loaders. In a day and a half, they cleaned this whole thing. And it was cleaner than it's ever been, okay? And there was a guy that was in charge from the insurance company. I'm not going to mention his name because most people in this town know him. But he made sure that Fish and Game and State Parks and everybody signed off. So, you know, the people that know what I was talking about didn't do anything. Okay, this place was done, and it was done right. And that's the difference between having professionals and, you know, volunteers. There wasn't a speck on their beach. I couldn't believe how well a job they did. And I just want to give them thanks for the job they did. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, staff, and citizens of Morro Bay. My name is Joyce Lundy, and I'm here tonight representing the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. And I'm going to give you some statistics and a little comparison to show you how much we have grown and how many people we're seeing at the Visitor Center. Just as an example, in April of 2008, our phone calls were 1,102. April of 2009, 1,183. Total visitors for April of 2008 in our center, 1,363. April of 2009, 2,340. Our tourist packages for April of 2009 were 96, and our relocation packets were 15. Our fulfillment mailings, 553 mailings. One of the things I want to draw your attention to is our referrals, our business referrals for the month of April. Lodging, 417 referrals. Dining, 545 referrals. Recreation, 971 referrals. Retail, 182 referrals to our retailers. Real estate, 67 referrals. Our events, 981 referrals. A total of 3,163 referrals last year, same month, only 1,405. So 1,405 compared to 3,163. The mixer this month is at Baron's Orchids, and that's at 465 Harbor on May the 21st from 5:30 to 7. Should be a terrific one. Thank you very much.
Please give her a full 3 minutes. Thank you. Welcome, Nina.
My name is Lena Rigglehuth. Madam Mayor, Council Members, my name is Lena. I am 12 years old and in 7th grade. Two of my goals in life are first, to go to Australia and visit the Great Barrier Reef, and second, to ride a whale shark. They are native to Australia but populate all tropical seas. They are filter feeders and eat small plankton and fish. My hobbies are drawing anime and manga, both of which are styles of Japanese drawing often used in comics. I also enjoy origami, which is Japanese paper folding and is very good for relaxation. And lastly, I love to play music. I play several different instruments, including the piano, tenor saxophone, kalimba, clarinet, and a small diatonic accordion. In the last school talent show, I played Amazing Grace on the piano. My favorite subjects in school are science, band, and math. I like earth science best out of all the different kinds of science, such as geology, astronomy, and plate tectonics. I especially like igneous rocks because it is just so amazing that superheated rock from the mantle can turn into something like a chunk of crystal, or some interesting rock like pumice, which floats, or obsidian, which was used for Indian spearheads. I find science interesting because it is a way that I can make a difference. I would like to thank all of you who bought tickets to the Garden Show for your contributions, which will go to support fundraising for Tech Trek scholarships. The reasons that I wanted and still want to go to Tech Trek are, firstly, like many others, I find science intriguing and fun. Another reason is that I believe that this is a wonderful opportunity to learn about science. An experience like this will be beneficial in learning how to use science to solve problems like global warming, or finding clean, renewable energy sources. This trip would also help because I would be able to interact with other girls my age from all over California who may have the same or different views about science. Because of your support, 2 Check Shark scholarships are given each year. By buying tickets to the garden tour, you help make fundraising possible. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, Nina. Thank you for coming in. And good luck.
Good job, Nina. Madam Mayor, council members, and city staff, and of course, residents of Morro Bay, residents of the Morro Bay City. I'm just going to say a couple of things. One,
did you say your name?
I didn't, did I?
No.
What is my name? Peter Candela with the Morro Bay Chamber
of
Commerce. Thank you for reminding me. The trolley is one of the topics I'd like to just talk about briefly. I don't take up a lot of time. But the Visitor Center hands out about 3,000 brochures on the trolley each year. It shows a tremendous amount of interest. It is something that people look forward to when they come into our town. It makes our city look very vibrant when it's full and it has a chance to display itself as it travels through the streets of Morro Bay. And I certainly wouldn't like it to be taken away in any way, shape, or form. I would certainly love to support everything and every route that the trolley takes on. As I understand, now we have our 3 routes that are going scheduled, which is the waterfront route and the north and south route, as well as the downtown route. They've not only have increased by 70% the total amount of passengers on there, but they've always, with adding the third route, they've actually decreased the amount of waiting time, which allows the people to park in different areas and actually ride to the different locations. It's a very positive impact. I'd hate to have it diminished in any way. The second comment that I'd like to make is the discretionary funds that you all had before last budget meeting. They really have impact because you have the opportunity to jumpstart an event that may be struggling or maybe can't have an opportunity to see if it will work. Certainly, the fundraiser Follies was one of them. The Kite Festival is another, as well as the Morro Bay Mermaid Parade. There's more out there. I would hope that you reconsider and possibly bring that back. It's really.
I saw that trolley around town, and they've been calling, especially Saturday. What we're doing is out training, so it's not operating yet, but it's starting May 23rd, Memorial Day weekend. On the waterfront, we're going to have our brand new trolley running, and people should know, I think they'll be real happy with the new comfortable padded seats that are going on those wooden seats. And this trolley stops every 20 minutes up at Market and Morro Bay Boulevard by Dorns. There's 2 parking lots there where they can leave their cars so they don't have to go circle around and look for parking down the Embarcadero. And there's ample parking there. And then the north trolley route's going to go again up Main Street to Morro Strand State Beach Campground. We bring a lot of campers into town who many of them are there with their motorhome and they don't have their car with them. We don't see so many bringing their cars anymore, and this trolley stops also at City Park so they can go into the grocery stores and then we can come back for them. And it makes its way back down to Market and Morro Bay Boulevard. Then the downtown trolley is the other one, and that route starts right at the public parking by Community Center. So there's parking there at Community Center that we usually see go fairly empty, and then at the library, and then at City Hall. They can park there and then ride the trolley down to the top of the Centennial Staircase and make their way down to the Embarcadero out of traffic. So we'd like to see people do that, especially if they're going to Art in the Park, then they can just pick up the trolley there at City Park. And we're excited to have the same drivers we had last year, including our own lady pirate, Camille, and as well as two new ones, and they're very experienced drivers. So they'll see us out practicing, and we're just raring to go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor Peters and council members. My name is Linda Merrill, and I live in North Morro Bay. I'd just like to thank a man. His name is Bob. He wouldn't let me take his picture or do anything more to thank him for what he does in our area. But you'll see him out there digging weeds and clipping things in the planters, and I think he's from Morro Bay Beautiful, but he would not let me do any more than that. I tried to take his picture. But anyway, I hope we can all thank him and give him a little wave for all the work he does. I have been watching the workshop, the spending workshop, and revenues, thank goodness. And I'm glad that we are still able to stay afloat as a city. Thank you all, and thank you, Susan, for making it all understandable. Betty, I would like to thank you for continuing to stick up for us getting better representation from the police and fire out in North Morro Bay. I know that you are constantly reminding the city that we do need that second fire coverage in North Morro Bay, and I thank you for continuing to stick up for us for that. Also, when I heard you say about the percentage reduction in salaries, and rather than reducing services and laying people off and that sort of thing, I certainly wholeheartedly support you on that concept. I think that we do have services that we need to retain. We have people that we need to retain, and laying off people would really be troublesome. Since we are talking about bike paths and the trolley, I couldn't help but think about Ben Luna, Susan Mullen, and Colby Kratzer, and when the good old days of getting the trolley in this town was almost impossible. It was really a lot of work, and they spent a lot of time on it, and we finally got the trolley. Also, the bike path to as far as the Cloisters was one of Ben Luna's projects when he was on the council. So anyway, I would like to thank you all for your efforts on the workshop. I'm going to try to attend the next workshop, and I am really disappointed that our state has any idea at all of taking money away from this city, and I appreciate your resolution tonight. So give them heck, and don't let them take the money.
Melody DeMeritt, resident of Morro Bay and former council member. I watched your budget workshop last week on TV. I work until 6, and so I couldn't be here for public comment. But when I was watching the budget workshop, I came up with some ideas. First of all, you continue to talk about things to put on the ballot to tax and signatures, which I could get in a heartbeat to put that on the ballot. Just put it on the ballot. You could save the city maybe $25,000 just in that election fee. We never had a primary before. The results were pretty similar. In fact, actually, we might have had a different mayor without a primary. The other thing I would like to suggest is that you go back to a paramedic fee idea that I brought up when I was on council. When I brought up this idea of a paramedic fee, I was told, well, let's wait and see what happens to CAL FIRE. Well, CAL FIRE's gone now. So I think it's time to revisit that. I did just a little bit of internet research today, and I found that the town of Yucaipa put a ballot measure on in 2003 that passed, and they have a $52 a year paramedic fee. In Glendale, they have a $60 a year fee with reductions for uninsured people, and I know that it's pretty complicated to talk about that. Loma Linda just passed it with a $48 annual membership fee. This will take really literally a task force comprised of probably the city attorney, the fire chief, maybe some Measure Q people and other people in town who would be willing to do the research on this. And then finally, and this is a comment as to behavior at the last workshop meeting, Betty was valiantly saving money with contingency fees, and I am for getting rid of the contingency fees, by the way, Madam Mayor, at this point in our time. So if she gets rid of the money over there, you were counting up the dimes and nickels in the middle and figuring out how to spend the $10,000 she's just spent or saved. So the thing is, we need to reduce debt, and we need to increase our revenues in our emergency funds for emergencies that might happen. So don't spend the money in one place because it's being saved in another place. Just save the money. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Council. Ken Vesterfeld, Res Morro Bay, car show representative. Totally amazed me for the economy and the weather. 531 cars come in and picked up their packet. Well close to 500 of those were on the streets. The community has really helped out with this. This is not, some people get confused and think it's for a group of six guys who put this car show on. It totally is not. It's all volunteer, and it's to help out the community at this time of the year. We started giving or asking businesses to give gift certificates last year that would be donated to the car show people. It has taken off. It was almost like $1,800 of gift certificates that were going back into the community. I think Carla will tell you that she had returned customers from last year who received their gift certificates, and it's just a wonderful event. It was probably close to, maybe not over, $500,000 into this community for the 3 or 4 day event, which I think is wonderful for all these businesses. I want to thank the Rob who was juggling the street issue here because of the dates that were set for the car show. The paving and actually the paving had to stop for Friday. Otherwise, they would have continued on. But unfortunately, or fortunately for Rob, he took a trip to Japan and came back and was going strong ever since he came back. So I really appreciate that. The Rotary Club took on the task. Dave Owens took on another task, I should say, along with the Rotary Club. Did a wonderful job for the feeding of over 500 people, or 600 people, I'm sorry, for the barbecue for the car show entrance only. A Chamber of Commerce took on the task of the treasure hunt, which is totally a wonderful event for the ladies who go around and do their shopping. And the youth group, the Police Explorers, I do believe this is one of their biggest events for trying to obtain money for what they do that goes off to represent our fine city in Arizona and Nevada and locally. So they are out there, I'm sure, at 4:30 in the morning putting up barricades and work all day long. Take them down again, put up all the street signs. A great group of young, fine gentlemen and a great representative for the city of Morro Bay. And I appreciate that. Appreciate the residences who have to put up with parking issues. I don't think there was anybody blocking driveways, but if you looked up and down the streets, you saw cars lined up all over. If you were to go out there on Saturday, it was nonstop pedestrians up and down Morro Bay Boulevard, Main Street, etc. And those people don't stay all day long, so our estimate of over 10,000 people for that day was probably a little shy, meaning there were more than that there. And lastly, our firefighters who are down there in Santa Barbara, you know, this is not a job to be taken lightly. You know, there was a lot of injuries this year. The chief can tell you they lost a couple engines. And as a parent, you always are concerned about if your son is a firefighter like mine, and he's still down there as of this morning. So all those prayers go out to all those people, and especially those people who have lost their homes and their belongings. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll close public comment. We're waiting for Rick. We have one item left on the consent agenda, and that's... Okay, we're back in session. We're back in session. While we're waiting... Okay, while we're waiting for him to come in, we have one item left on consent. Let's go to it's the minutes, A1.
I would move approval of the minutes.
Second.
All right, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, now we really need him. Where'd he go?
So is that on the forum?
Yeah. All right, so. Does anybody know where he went?
be coming? We're in session, Rick. Okay.
Sorry.
What, you want to vote again? No, we don't have to. Rob says we don't have to. Okay. Going to our public hearings. Item B1, consideration of Morro Bay Dial-A-Ride fare increase, and reports by Janine.
Good evening, and thank you. Tonight you have for consideration a Dial-A-Ride fare increase. We've had some decreases in our Transportation Development Act funds that are kind of the primary reason for requesting this increase. The last fare increase was in 2005, and the one prior to that was in 1990. Yes, 1990. So it's been a while, and we've been trying very hard to not do a lot of fare increases over the years, try to find other ways in order to keep our services at the existing levels. However, with the state economy being such, one of the components of Transportation Development Act funds, the Local Transportation Fund, or LTF, which is based on sales tax revenue, was cut in this fiscal year 10% earlier in December. And the STA, the State Transit Assistance Funds, which is the other component of TDA, was cut by 50% for this year. For next year, STA is to be eliminated entirely. And LTF will have a small increase from the cut that was from the original allocation at the beginning of 8-9. However, it's still a little bit lower percentage-wise overall from what we originally were being allocated. So on page 2 of your staff report is just a little table that shows the different funding sources for Dial-A-Ride between 8-9 and 9-10 and how they've changed from the original allocation in 8-9 to the funding cuts that occurred in the middle of the year to what is being anticipated to be allocated for 9-10. For 8-9, when we lost about $48,000 in transit funding, the city had a rural transit fund grant that we received from the Council of Governments. And we requested, it was for a capital project to purchase a new vehicle, and what we did was we requested a change in the project description to allow it to be used for operating funds so that we wouldn't have to make some drastic cuts to service midway through the year. So that would carry us through 8-9, but in 9-10, with the decreases to LTF and the elimination of STA, we might have to make some changes. The city applied for and received a $40,000 Rural Transit Fund grant to use for operations for 9-10. However, that combined with the lower amount of LTF we would be receiving and the elimination of STA, we're still short some funding. So the budget that was prepared included the elimination of Saturday service, which at your budget workshop had allocated some Measure Q funding, which if the council adopts in its entirety at your workshop on Wednesday, that would save Saturday service for 9-10. The fare increase that's being proposed is $2 for a regular one-way fare and $1.25 for a discount one-way fare. The current fares are in error in your staff report, and I apologize for that. When I learned of that this morning, I sent out an email to everyone of what the actual fares are. I don't know if everyone received that. The current fares are actually $1.50 for a regular one-way ride and $1 for a discount, which is for seniors 65 and over and those who are mobility impaired of any age. We do offer an 11-ride punch pass in each category, which is at the price for 10 rides, so there is a slight price break for those riders who use the service often and buy the punch passes. The proposed fare increase would also help towards reducing the general fund subsidy, with the ultimate goal in the future to eliminate the general fund subsidy. Staff is recommending that the council approve the fare increase that's proposed as outlined in the staff report and to make this effective July 1 of 2009. And what I'd like to do is turn it over to the council for any questions you have and a motion.
I've got a question right off the bat. If we do this, how much more money does that bring in? It's not enough to anywhere near make it not still subsidized by the city, right?
Correct. The fare increases would bring in about $12,000 in additional revenue. And with the council's action to allocate some Measure Q funding for the performance audit, the general fund subsidy would then go down to about $4,000 for the 9-10
year. Okay. Having sat in on a Measure Q meeting today, I'm not sure that's going to fly on Wednesday. So if we're looking at cutting Saturday, potentially, and keeping it during the week, would we be able to maintain without Measure Q funding if we eliminated Saturday?
The Saturday service expenditures were already eliminated from the budget that was under consideration.
Okay.
So they're
and
already
we're still
out.
Short.
Yes.
Okay.
And Ms. Burlingame, would you clarify, is not this $12,000 already included in the current budget as well?
Correct.
So we're not bringing in any more revenue.
Right. Okay. Other questions? Okay, this is a public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak on this issue, please come forward. And seeing none, we'll bring it back to council. I guess my concern was on the first one, we're raising, and I know there's percentages and all of that, but we're taking the one-way fare from $1.50 up to $2. We're taking the discount fare from $1 up to $1.25. And I think I asked you, what would the difference be if we took that up 50 cents as well instead of just a quarter? How much more did that come to? Sorry, I didn't remember to bring it. And I love that your file folder is coordinated with your office.
Sorry, as I paused for finding the paper. Okay. If you were to raise the discount fare by 50 cents as opposed to the 25 cents, you'd be looking at about $2,600 more in additional okay. revenue.
Okay. I'll start here. I know... I mean, we haven't raised rates in a long time. I know it's an awful time to raise rates, but I also think that a lot of people are aware that we have no choice, that costs have gone up and that rates have to increase as well. I think we might look at a little bit more than this, perhaps $2.50 and $2. I know that's awful, and I hate saying that, but I don't know how else we're going to get out of this constant downward spiral with the state having taken away that funding. So I'm throwing that out there for consideration.
I have an alternative choice.
Okay.
I actually was thinking the other way. I'd like to see the regular fare only go up a quarter to $1.75. And the reason is by increasing it 50 cents, you're increasing it by 33%, which is quite a hike in anything at any time. Even the discount rate by only going up a quarter is only going up 20%. So I think 17% is more in line with what's going on. To counterbalance that, I would suggest that we raise trolley fare rather than dial-a-ride fare. It's all in the same fund. It's all in the transit budget. And that's more discretionary money, where this is for people that have that's their only reliable source of transportation. And they depend on this. And I think that I would rather do it that way than to increase the DAR.
Okay, Rick?
Well, I think they both need to be increased. I think trolley fees need to be increased. I think dial-a-ride fees need to be increased. So just to clarify, did you say each 25 cents or each 50 cents is a $2,600 realization?
Well, that is only applicable to if you're raising the discount rate another 25 cents, because there's a different percentage of the number of riders who pay a regular cash versus a regular punch pass versus a discount cash versus a discount punch pass. And those numbers vary. So I don't have in front of me what if we raised the regular rate by a quarter, what
okay.
what that dollar amount would be.
I mean if I were king, I would say $2.50 for regular and $1.50 for discount, and with an eye on increasing trolley fee.
Okay, Noah?
So, Rick, make sure I'm hearing you correctly. You're suggesting $150 for the discount pass and $250 for the regular? And I had a good conversation with my structure that isn't open to people that use this program and really depend on this program. So I guess that would be a question to you, Ms. Burlingame, if you thought we could structure that into the discount program as well as an option.
Well, I think what you would need to do with something like that is you would have to now start certifying people because right now it's kind of on an honor system that you're 65 or older, but we can always ask for proof of your age, mobility impairments. For them, there are those that are not readily apparent, but with something like low income, you would definitely have to be making some sort of, whether it's an application kind of like we have for the water billing, you would have to come in and get certified. But the potential downside to that is then someone has to show a card that they are certified as that, and that could become a stigma. So unless you do a certification process where everyone in the discount category and it's one pass that looks the same and somebody showing it doesn't know whether you're 65 or older, you have a mobility impairment, or you're low income.
Well, we'd have to establish what would be low income, and then somebody would have to show a W-2 or something. But this, I would think that would only apply to long-term passes and not just a person that just occasionally uses the service.
You have the potential for both being used, both the cash fare or someone who buys the punch passes.
So there isn't something off the top of your head, and I apologize for not bringing this up earlier, but the system that's already in place that would help us identify that or stack the function?
Not something that I'm aware of. The only thing that's kind of, well, as far as certifying would be something like what we do in the water billing. You would have to bring in some sort of proof that you maybe qualify for a PG&E type of low-income program. And then you would then qualify.
And I think we discontinued that.
I guess I'm thinking of that because really ultimately this is an essential program for some people. And my fear would be that we do something with our rate structure in a way that starts to eliminate people from being able to access this program. And I do see a hole in the discount opportunities that we offer currently. So... if we're not going to add that body of people to the discount option, then there's a good size number of the population that I would guess would be really struck by this. So that's my concern, and I guess I'll turn the mic over for a little more conversation.
Carla?
Well, I'm seeing 4 years that we haven't increased this. It's 2005, I believe, Ms. Burlingame said, and we're talking about 50 cent increase. I don't see that as a deal breaker for someone who's using it for ridership. $2 is still affordable. I feel it's less than a gallon of gas, and it's a huge difference in where we have a shortfall in our budget here. So $1.50 for the impairment ridership and $2, I would be have a hard time, and I understand where Rick's coming from, certainly. But going to 250 seems like a huge leap all at once. I wish we would have stair-stepped this in like a lot of other things we should have done along the way. But I would feel more comfortable doing a 50-cent increase, and I don't think that should be a hardship on our ridership at this point. And perhaps we could revisit another increase at a more appropriate time and stair-step these in. But 50 cents shouldn't be a hardship on our riders.
Madam yeah. Mayor?
Yes?
I would just when people take rides, it's usually two-way. So it looks like $2, but it's really $4. Mm-hmm. So we're really increasing it from $3 to $4 at one pop. So it's really a 25% increase at the least, if not more. And for me, it's part of the service that the city provides, and sometimes services like our Parks and Rec have to be underwritten. So I don't know that we'll ever get to the point where it's self-sufficient. I mean, that would be nice, and we can move that direction. But I think we need to understand that this is for those people in our community that don't have options.
Noah?
Yeah, I actually did want to clarify a bit that I felt like the proposed the staff increases were modest increases, and I was ready to support those as they were stated. And at the same time, though, I see exactly what Ms. Wimholtz is pointing out as far as if we were to make the larger proposed jump, that would really be significant on the two-way charge.
Rick, did you have another comment there? Okay. My feeling, okay, we can go with either one. I mean, I know I don't want to do this to people either, and I totally understand everybody is suffering, but at the same time, everything else has gone up. Our costs have gone up. We can't just keep absorbing. And I know it's a service, and I totally agree it's an important one. But
that maybe we need to look at the trolley fares along with the dial-a-ride fares and say, what is it that we need to have happen here, and how do we need to stair-step this over the next few years? Maybe this isn't a decision to make right now, but we need to come back with the dial-a-ride or with the trolley.
But I think we need to address the funding right now because we are short the funds, and we have no other way to address it. And the trolley funds, as was pointed out, unfortunately, my feelings, obviously I made it clear at the budget, can come from parking and lieu fees. This can't.
No, I mean raising the fees for people to ride the trolley, like that kind of discussion. I think that can happen before July 1st. I mean, we can have that discussion, I think.
Well, remember, too, that these figures, I think, are already budgeted in, right?
Correct. The elimination of the Saturday service, so the cost for those and the fare increase as proposed are already included in the budget.
So I think that we need to continue positively with our budget discussions. I think we need at least to adopt this. I don't think this is unfair. I know it's unfortunate to have to do this at a time when people's income is probably down as well, but it's not unfair. And I think that people will respect that. I know that when the RTA rates went up, people were not concerned with that. They understood, as long as it's a reasonable amount. And I agree with you. I think we do need to raise the trolley rates, definitely, because that's discretionary, and that we do need to charge more for. It's in lieu of parking. So I think they have every reason to pay more for that service. It's a convenience, and it's our tourists who are doing a lot of that. So I definitely think that we should look at that as well. But I don't think we can not do this instead of that. So if we're all willing on the suggested increase, we can go for a motion there. Noah?
Yeah, actually, Carly, you raised a good point in that really if we're talking about raising these fees to a certain point, should we balance that with the consideration of eliminating Saturday service? What's a better situation for these riders? And I'm sure they understand the dilemma that we're facing with this. But I would actually feel more inclined towards elimination of the Saturday service because of the number of riders that we see on that day compared to the rest of the week. And overall, there are some other options, obviously, at that point, whereas we could potentially be raising this to a prohibitive level with the fee increase. And I guess I would ask the rest of the council, are we thinking that we're going to raise the fees and cut Saturday service?
That's what's been budgeted. That's how the budget's suggested right now, yes.
So that's why I would prefer that we walk very lightly on this fee increase at this point and realize that this is an essential service for members of our community.
And if I could just, I'm sorry, if I could just add something real quickly, just keep in mind that the performance audit expenditure that is going to occur in 9-10 will not be in the next 3 years' budgets. So those are funds that, you know, hopefully we'll be able to take care of some of these other LTF issues until the state economy starts improving and the LTF numbers start to rebound a bit. So the rates that were proposed, we're kind of taking that in mind that in 10-11, 11-12, 12-13, that performance audit expenditure is not going to be there. And then we could be seeking grants for the future performance audits to cover that cost. It's just that this year we were told only a few months, like a month and a half ago, that, hey, this expenditure is now on your head, and we had no other way for covering it.
Right. Okay.
Perhaps we can incorporate the opportunity for the trolley ridership to increase to some if the Saturday service is eliminated. Maybe there'll be some more use of that, too, since a lot of that, Ms. Burlingame had said, was for social movement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, shall we do a motion approving staff's suggestion?
I'll make a motion that the council approve a fare increase to Morro Bay Dial-A-Ride effective July 1, 2009 for $2 regular one-way fare, $1.25 discount one-way fare, $20 regular 11-ride punch pass, and a $12.50 discount 11-ride punch pass.
Second.
Second by Noah. Okay. Any more discussion?
Yes, please. I thought we were going to make it $1.50 on that discount.
Well, that's what I wanted to do, but it seemed like
I thought we were going for the lower one. I would
for that. I thought the discussion was $1.50.
I could amend my motion and include that. We'll see where it goes.
All right, so you want to go to $1.50?
I'm just asking. I thought that was the discussion was $1.50 on the discount.
Why don't we make a motion and see what happens?
Okay, so the motion is for $1.50 for the discount rate. Yeah.
And I'll withdraw my second.
Second.
Okay. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay. 3-2 with Noah and Betty opposed.
Operations and management agreement. The San Luis Obispo Council of Governments board met in December of 2008 and requested that their staff establish a transit efficiency subcommittee to look at transit region-wide. There's several different agencies providing service. There's the regional transit system that provides interconnectivity amongst jurisdictions, and look and see if there's any places where we could be more efficient with our use of funds, are we overlapping in some service areas? Can we coordinate or consolidate certain functions like dispatching? And see if there's efficiencies that could be achieved locally or regionally. And the mayor and myself are the representatives for Morro Bay, and this group will be meeting over the next 8 to 12 months to do this review. The whole group met about a month and a half ago, and during that discussion decided to break up into smaller sub-regional committees because what may work in one sub-region might not work in another sub-region. So we may have some specific things that would be applicable in the North Coast area that might not work for South County and vice versa. So that second meeting has been with the sub-region has been set for later this month. And the current agreement with MV Transportation will expire at the end of June of this year. And rather than go through an RFP process, which is time and staff energy and cost, what staff is feeling is that it might be more prudent to wait until the transit efficiency study is completed and comes back with any particular recommendations that this council may want to adopt and then incorporate into the transit program. So with that, staff is recommending a month-to-month extension while we go through this process for the Council of Governments Board and see what may come from it. If we get the recommendations back and there's really no efficiencies to be had or nothing that's acceptable to the council, then what we would do is go through an RFP process for our regular existing services. If something does come back that is looking at maybe changing how we provide transit here on the North Coast to be a little bit more inclusive, provide better connectivity between Los Osos, Cayucas, Morro Bay, something that Supervisor Gibson was mentioning earlier this evening, then we would be going through an RFP process that would encompass those changes. So what staff is recommending right now is that you hold a public hearing and approve a month-to-month extension of the current Morro Bay Dial-A-Ride and Trolley Operations and Management Agreement with MV Transportation. Pursuant to the current agreement, all terms and conditions of the existing agreement would be in effect for any extension. And as far as a fiscal impact, which is already calculated in the budget numbers that you had seen at your workshop last week, the extension periods the compensation for those extension periods would be based on 80% of the CPI adjustment that occurs in July of each year. So that would reflect any upward or downward motion of the CPI. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to the council for any questions, comments, and a motion.
Okay, questions?
I have questions. I have two questions. How does this current study that you're involved with overlap with the North Coast plan that was done a couple of years ago?
The North Coast Transit Plan is a 5-year action plan for our services, and it provided certain recommendations to enact over the next 5 years that would help improve efficiencies, reduce costs, increase revenue, those types of things. I think this would probably go a little bit farther than that because, as my understanding, some of the things that might be contemplated are creating, or at least something that's been talked about to look at, would be creating a North Coast regional transit that is different than anything we have right now. Right now, the connections between like Cayucas and Morro Bay or Los Osos and Morro Bay that are provided by the Regional Transit Authority are fairly limited. And what this might do is look at something like that North Coast approach that is something that possibly the city could be the one who operates that has more frequent service, bringing people into and out of the community and having them connect with the regional transit system that provides hourly service from City Park. Anyone north of Morro of City Park has very limited service, doesn't have that hourly service. So it's going to be different than and go beyond what the North Coast plan that currently exists.
Then are you using the North Coast plan as your basis to start from? Since that work's been done and even what you're talking about was part of that plan.
You know, it might be something. This is really the Council of Gov issues with getting funds apportioned so we don't lose. There's timelines that they were having to complete in order to not lose funding. In addition, they are purchasing a new building and will be moving into that in the summertime. So I think that's created a few delays.
But you're asking us to delay a long-term contract until that study's done.
Correct.
So this could be up to a year.
I would say the year would be the longest. When the staff report was written, that sub-regional meeting had not been scheduled yet, and when I was talking with Pete Rogers from the Council of Governments, his initial reaction was that it might be a little bit longer than 8 months. It might be more on the 12-month side, but then a day after the staff report was completed, we have a sub-regional meeting that was scheduled. So the timeline could be anywhere from 8 months to 12 months to complete. And that's really on SLOCOG's schedule, not the city's.
And Madam Mayor, you don't have any better feel for that?
Well, it's basically the sub-regional. We're having a pre-meeting, and then we're having a regional meeting, and it's going to move as quickly as it can based on the different factors that have to come in. We're moving quickly with ours. I don't know if the other areas are moving as quickly with theirs, and it's going to be a combined effort of all the regions, and there's three of them. Well, four if you count San Luis as one of its own. So we'll move as quickly as we can, but it is a matter of getting them all coordinated and then on the agenda at SLOCOG.
And just to add to that, the reason staff is recommending a month-to-month term as opposed to making it a 12-month is that if this study ends up being completed earlier than 12 months, earlier than 8 months, let's say we get it done in 6 months, then we would have the flexibility to be able to start right away in moving forward with any recommendations that the council would want to act upon.
And you'd avoid the process of establishing a contract, which it sounds like from the staff report that would take considerable effort and time.
You would have time and money involved and staff time involved with development of an RFP. You would have to go out to bid. You would have to do the reviews for those and then come back to council for a recommendation. So that, and then ultimately there's the potential of changing contractors if the existing one doesn't bid or bids but is not awarded the contract. And so that takes time as well. And so it just seemed to make better sense to do a month-to-month extension for this kind of short period of time rather than go through an RFP process for a one-year contract. Also, the cities of San Luis Obispo and the Regional Transit Authority between this last few months and over the last year, year and a half, have gone through RFP processes, and their proposed rates for service were much higher than the 3% that we'd be contemplating here for a month-to-month extension at this point.
We might hear from MV Transportation tonight, but have you had some dialogue with them, or is the comfort level there for them to sign this as well?
Yes, Dwight Brashear is with MV Transportation here tonight, and MV is in support of this, and he may speak to that when the public comment opens up. And we have had conversations with them all along about what the staff's intent with what we want to do with this agreement and how it kind of fits in with the transit efficiencies subcommittee and where it may be going.
Carla, do you have any questions? Rick? Okay, this is a public hearing. Mr. Brashears, if you'd like to start, and anyone else following him?
Absolutely. Mayor Peters, members of the council, my name is Dwight Brashear. I'm a regional vice president with MV Transportation. We are an American company headquartered out of Fairfield, California, and we have been a partner here in Morro Bay since 2001. And we understand the difficulties that you currently face financially. We would like to continue to be a partner here in Morro Bay and help you weather the difficult times that seem to be ahead of us. And I know that brighter days are obviously coming. But as I said, we would certainly love to continue our partnership here. I must praise Ms. Burlingame, and I don't want to give you the impression that we have only spoke recently. She and I have spoken regularly over the past 2.5 years. She is an incredible steward relative to the management and oversight of your transit system here, and it has been certainly a pleasure of mine to work with her over the past 2.5 years. But just to go on record, MV Transportation is amenable to a month-to-month extension and certainly amenable to a long-term relationship. So if you have any questions for me, I will remain right here in the front row or at the podium, whichever you prefer.
Oh, I'll just stay right there, and we'll see if there's any questions.
Sure.
Okay.
Then.
Would you be opposed to a one-year extension as opposed to the other parts of the county to come in? So I would rather go with, and I will make a motion, since there's no discussion, to go with a one-year extension.
All right. Do I hear a second? I'll second it for discussion. I'm not opposed to that, actually. I think MV has been a very good deal for us, and certainly they have performed well with us and worked well with us. So I agree with you. I like that idea. And I don't see it happening much faster than that anyway, so I don't have any problem with that if everyone's agreeable.
What would be the situation if the study is worked out and there's it returns within a year? Would we have an out to be able to start to address that?
And well, if the study got concluded in 9 months, which is optimistic, possible, but optimistic, we'd still have to go out for the RFP, and we could certainly do that before the contract expires so that we're ready to go when it does. So 6 1/2 dozen to another.
Is there anything from your perspective, Ms. Burlingame, about a year contract?
No, that would be amenable to staff, and as Mayor Peters said, if the efficiency study comes back earlier and there are things that we wanted to incorporate, then that would give you time to be able to do that before the one-year extension is up. If it ends up being longer, then we can always look at a month-to-month while we're doing the RFP, developing the RFP, and at that point.
Carla?
Well, it just seems like more work to enter into a contract for a year and then have to go back and do month-to-month if we end up going over, or then worrying about if we end up ahead of the game and having 2 or 3 months left on the contract if they're not asking for it and they're willing to accept a month-to-month. I'm not seeing why we need to enter into the contract.
Rick, any comment?
Well, I think in the event, I mean, who knows? Things may move more rapidly than we think they may. I mean, it's possible. So with that in mind, I think a month to month is more appropriate.
All right. Well, we got a motion on the table. Let's vote on that one. And this is for a 1 year contract. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay, 3-2. So it passed, with Carla and Rick voting against. So, thank you. All right, going on to item B3. Public hearing to receive testimony on a grant request to State of California Department of Transportation for Federal Transit Administration program funding to purchase replacement dial-a-ride and trolley vehicles. Janine, you're getting a workout tonight.
Thank you, and good evening again. Yes, tonight, but you have before you an item. It's really actually just a public hearing to receive testimony on the grant request that the city applied for a replacement trolley and a replacement dial-a-ride vehicle under the Section 5311 program of Federal Transit Administration. This is the economic stimulus funding. One of the requirements is that you have to hold a public hearing to receive public testimony. While that public hearing did not have to take place prior to the application due dates, which were last month, the noticing of the hearing had to be before that because we had to provide that in with the application packet, but that the public hearing could occur after the application due date. So the council has already approved a resolution to apply for these funds. The application was submitted April 17th to the state. So this is just a public hearing to receive testimony from any members of the public on the grant application for a replacement dial-a-ride and a replacement trolley vehicle in the amount of $229,000 for both of them. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to the council to open the public hearing, conduct the public hearing, and bring it back for You don't have any motion, any additional motion, just to conduct the public hearing.
Okay. Any questions? All right. This is a public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak on this item, please come forward. And seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council. So no action is required. We just had to have the public hearing on this issue. So that's that one. All right, moving on to item B4. Hey, we got somebody else now. Joe, resolution approving the engineer's report and declaring the intent to levy the annual assessment for the Cloisters Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance Assessment District. Mr. Woods.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. On April the 13th, 2009, City Council adopted Resolution 15-09, which initiated the proceedings to levy the annual assessment to fund the maintenance of the Cloisters Park and Open Space. Additionally, staff was directed to have an engineer's report prepared detailing the estimated annual assessment for the parcel owners for the fiscal year 2009-2010. Both of those are included for your review. Based on the engineer's report, the annual cost for maintaining the Cloisters Park and public space for the upcoming year is estimated at $148,000. Our intent was to bring in a potentially our solar-powered trash compactor that has a recycling unit on it. So right now staff is addressing recyclable containers, particularly at the two assessment districts. So you should see something soon. Okay. Thank you.
My second question is, if at some point we get tertiary treatment at the sewer plant and we wanted to do purple pipe up to the Cloisters, is that something we can put into the assessment district, or is that something we would pay for separately? I don't know who would know that question, since it would be to the benefit of the park.
I certainly would money. To look to the front row for assistance.
Andrea?
My comment was that if we do charge it to the assessment district, it still has to be within the assessment funds. You do always have the ability to propose an increase to those funds to pay for any additional services. However, with the 51% protest, that would fail.
I'm wondering at the cost offset that not paying for the water, if that could help pay for the pipe, and how do we go about looking into that? Or do we need to wait until the sewer plant is changed over?
I think time's going to tell on that, certainly.
And then there's certain requirements as the type of water that needs to be analyzed and whether that tertiary water can be used for that purpose and what purposes. But I think we'll certainly underdo those studies as we get further along with the wastewater treatment plant.
Because don't we service the high school right now? But it's not with purple pipe.
No, that's just by a non-potable well.
Okay. My last question has to do with herbicides and pesticides. I think when we were doing the Mayor's Green City thing a couple of years ago, we said every year we would try to do one thing towards that, and this was one of the things we were looking at, and I don't know what kind of success, if any, you've had at doing that. reducing the use of those two items.
Thank you. We are minimizing our spraying of weed abatement. I think we use a Roundup. We also use Aquamaster to suppress the weeds in certain areas. We are minimizing our use, and we are certainly increasing other aspects at the park. Not closely related would be the bat boxes that we have being sponsored. The Lions Club is partnering up with us, and they're building boxes to attract flying bats that would be feeding off of insects and other pests in the park. They're going to be supplementing what we have now, which is mosquito-eating fish that are in that that wetland, that little pond, the reservoir that we have. So we are looking at other ways. We are trying to minimize pesticides. But obviously there's a part where we need to do some spraying around sidewalks and other structures within the park.
Thank you.
I like that. Bats and fish. Cool. Any other questions?
I do.
No?
Joe, I had a couple questions along the lines of mostly the areas, I guess that would be east of the main drive there in the open space. And I'm curious as to why it seems like we have a pretty aggressive program there, minimizing any vegetation along the drainage ditches in that zone. And just curious to know why that is, and if there would be the potential to allow some more of the Esha to reestablish itself in that zone. And just kind of an update question from you.
Thank you. I'll do my best to answer that question. Regarding the area I think you're referring to is along a parallel to the freeway.
Yes, between the freeway and the drive.
It's mostly drainage ditches and water diverters to get a lot of the runoff from other parts of the town that come down to that area that usually to facilitate them into the wetland, then naturally goes out to the ocean when it fills up. So allowing extra growth in those areas would certainly hinder the water flow and potentially have it potentially backing up and potentially flooding in a very susceptible area. So I'd be concerned about allowing that growth to accelerate beyond our means to be able to maintain it.
That's
one of our main reasons.
Yeah, and I guess I that gets to the two areas of interest I have. Is one is the ditches themselves, and the other, of course, is the more flat space that's in there that's mostly exposed soil at this point. And but my comment would be with the ditches themselves and the removal of any vegetation in those is we do have an issue with sedimentation in the wetland that's there in the center of the park. And if we were to allow some vegetation to grow in those drainage ditches, we'd be reducing the sedimentation in the pond and wetland area. And to me, I think it's easier for us to address sedimentation in those ditches than having to get into the wetland zone. I guess that leads to my other question is, do we have
it a couple of times in past years to hydro seed that area and have it grow, but it just it's non-irrigated. So in the springtime, it's a little bit prettier than it is now. Certainly not very attractive now, but we've been highly unsuccessful in anything growing in that area. We do clean out the channels on a regular basis, and we will continue with the depth readings in the wetland to make sure that continues to serve its purpose.
Because maybe I'll follow up with this outside the meeting, but I would suspect that if we were to allow those channels to vegetate themselves, there's enough of a bowl in that area to start to establish a secondary wetland on that side if we ever were to receive major rains again. And some flooding in that zone would actually help the restoration of the flats and the open space there. It's a bigger conversation. We'll have it outside of the meeting, but I think that would be fairly exciting to participate with.
Okay, that it for questions? This is a public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak on this issue?
I had a question.
I'm sorry. Called out a question.
Sorry. Mine's on funding, actually. Mr. Woods, I have a question on the background section of this, and then on the last page, you have personnel services at $100,308. Is that still including budgeting for halftime maintenance worker? I know that we have our hiring freeze, and it was a discussion about not replacing that person. And I see in the front, page 2, that you've made note that we've cut back, and so that there was adequate coverage of the assessment this year, even though there was increases. But then when I went to the last page, I saw our personnel services at $100,300. And in looking at the budget that you presented last week in our workshop, I noticed that it appeared that there was still budgeted in a maintenance worker for there. Is that still there?
Yes, thank you, Councilman Boyer. The allocation of funds for the assessment district comes from levying those owners, and the balance of this has been $148,000, and that's been able to allocate for the resources that we've sent out there. So the fact that you've cut a halftime position out of the parks division is not a halftime position that you've cut out of the cloisters assessment district. That assessment district has not changed. And their allocations and their particular tasks that we perform in Attachment A, that has not changed. Your halftime position of 1,040 hours is a hit that you have on the general fund. The positions I need to allocate the resources to fulfill my obligation to this assessment district. When you didn't do that, in this halftime position, then I've got to pull resources to allocate to this assessment district, and that's what staff is doing.
Right. And I understand that. I was just asking if this it appeared that you were still funding it in your budget when we were looking at the workshop budget, that it was still funding the halftime position, that it was still in your budget, not with the cloisters assessment, but in your other budget, that the position was still there. But I saw a note that you were not accounting for it here, person here.
The budget I propose for the upcoming fiscal year does not include the halftime.
Does not. Okay.
The one that was cut a couple months ago, mm-hmm. Or actually was a vacancy that you left vacant, that has not been refilled and has not been requested.
So this $100,000 is just strictly for the one worker that's out there?
Not necessarily. It's going to be more than one worker that's going to be able to have to handle the tasks that are out there. I have more than 2,080 hours worth of work out of this assessment district, if you can see the list. So anybody who's in 6160 in the Parks Division could be allocated out there with an override to the assessment district fund. That's generally what we do.
Okay. Well, it's just because of the way I look at it, where it's assigned, that's how you have it listed. So that's why I wondered. Not here.
Okay.
The way you have it broken down in your departments. So that's why I wondered.
We do have a part-time position in the facilities division, but it's not a benefited position.
Okay. So and they're here part-time.
You may have that mixed up with the halftime position with benefits.
Okay.
It has not been funded and it's not been requested.
Okay. I'll check with you later. Thank you.
Yeah, Ms. Borchardt's question brought up another issue that I think we're all aware of, is that in the long term, we are locked into this assessment, and it seems like we will be at some point outpacing the cost of maintenance, will be outpacing the funds that we'll be receiving. And I guess I'm just curious if there is a plan, or we would just be at that point requesting that the homeowners take a vote. And is there any other path that has been considered or that we should be aware of or planning for?
Yes, Councilman Smuckler, there is a couple of different avenues in which staff is going to be proceeding. Obviously, one would be the very logical one, is to go back to the assessment district and ask for an increase. But the other is in the interim. We eliminate some things like trash cans, go down to one, and we get more efficient with our services. And we try new ways, and who knows, we might have a partnering down the line that would help us out. But we wouldn't just give up on increasing the fees to the assessment district, but that has been mentioned in your staff report, and it has been in the staff report for two or three years now, that the potential of increasing this levy would be before you. And I would anticipate that possibly in the next year or two.
I look forward to that.
Now
the for the upcoming years estimated at $5,645. Upon adoption of Resolution 22-09, which is the next and final step in the annual, levy assessment process, would be to have a public protest, a public hearing. Staff recommends the City Council adopt Resolution 22-09, declaring the intent to levy the annual assessment for the maintenance of the North Point Natural Area, and also approving the engineer's report. That concludes my report. Staff is available for any questions you might have at this time.
Any questions on
Thank
this
you.
One?
Just one, please. And this more has to do with boundaries. I noticed at the top of the stairs there's a state park boundary. Down at the bottom to the north there's a state park boundary. And we had a woman that came and spoke before us a month or two ago about the lack of clarity about where the boundary is. Is there some way we can clear that up? I don't know that it's necessarily related to the assessment district, but it certainly is about the boundary of the assessment district. And
certainly. Thank you. We've had the issue come up before where does the off-leash dog area start and you know, that kind of thing. And where can I put my sign? Right now I think the music festival sign might be a little bit close to our natural area. And they've been asked to move that sign out past the city park boundaries. We've tossed around several ideas at the staff level, maybe a partial fence that designates the area but doesn't prohibit flow and traffic. So that was one of our ideas. Maybe some passive signs designating that you're entering the park. Maybe a park rule sign at both ends, on the south and north end. So those are some things that we've talked about. It's a natural area, and so we're a little bit reluctant to putting up too much of the structures or signs. And we have quite a few at the beginning at the parking lot. But it's certainly something we can look into if council's looking to direct us to do some passive type of boundary identification. We can certainly address that at the staff level.
And I think my concern's more regarding below the staircase. And I don't know if we go below the staircase or not.
No, we don't.
Okay. So is it the top of the staircase or the lower bottom of the staircase that starts state parks?
We maintain the staircase.
So really they don't start till the bottom of the stairs then? Okay. And do you know how far below to the north of the bottom of the staircase they can go? Is it where they're posted then?
It's tough because the topography keeps changing. They're not exact lines out there on the cliff and the bluff there.
Maybe then the easiest would be to move their state park sign that's at the top of the staircase to the lower end of the staircase. Or is that there as kind of a warning to people?
Well, I would want to consult several different, obviously in-house staff, public services would be one.
Sure.
I would want to first reference. And then we can probably touch base with state after that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that you want us to look into.
I'll make it an agenda item to clarify.
That'd be fine.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, this is a public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak on this issue, please come forward. And seeing no one, we'll bring it back to council, and I'll entertain a motion approving the resolution.
Move to approve Resolution 22-09.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. All right, moving on to our last public hearing item, introduction and first reading of Ordinance Number 548, repealing, amending, and reenacting Title 10 Vehicle and Traffic of the Morro Bay Municipal Code. And I assume Mr. Olivas is in place of Chief DeRohan. We're pointing back and forth between Mr. Schultz and Mr. Olivas.
I'll take it since he's pointing towards me. This is back in front of you. It's been in front of you a few different times since January. It's a complete rewrite of our Chapter 10 Municipal Code, which is Vehicles and Traffic. From our last meeting, we have now at least provided you with a red line of the changes that were made from the last one. And those had to do with comments about making certain that council retains that final ability to change any traffic signals and also some other cleanups, and commend Councilmember Winholtz met with Police Chief DeRohan and found a few other mistakes or other items that we didn't even quite understand ourselves. So with that, I'll leave it up to any questions or any other comments and see if we can get past the first reading.
Any questions?
I just have one, and it's on Section 10.4. 40.170. It has to do with restricted parking in city parking lots except the boat launch ramp. And I just want to clarify or ask if we need to clarify that now that I assume this is because we're now going, well, we already allow overnight for the boat trailers, and that this means that they can be there 24/7, but I don't know that I want cars to be there 24/7. So do we...
Cars park there.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, this is a public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak on this issue, please come forward. And seeing none, we'll bring it back to council. Okay. Anyone want to give a motion?
I move to approve introduction and first reading of ordinance number 548 by number and title only.
Second.
Any further discussion?
I just want to say I appreciate meeting with Mr. DeRohan to go over some of the items, and that I feel like it's a stronger document and clearer. And both of us had good comments to make on that.
Yeah, I appreciate you doing that. That's a good way to handle it. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. All right. Read away.
This is ordinance number 548, an ordinance of the City of Morro Bay repealing, amending, and reenacting Title 10 Vehicles and Traffic of the Morro Bay Municipal Code.
All right. And with that,
I'd like a break.
Yeah. Okay. 5-minute break, everyone. And it's Janine again. It's the Janine show tonight.
Thank you.
Janine and Joe. We've got Joe coming up next.
I promise this will be my last agenda item tonight. As you mentioned, tonight you have the review of the 2008 trolley season performance, and originally it was a brief description of the 2009 season. Based on some comments from the budget workshop last week, I did send out an addendum on last Friday with some additional information, and that was emailed to all the council members as well as placed in your box in case you couldn't access your email. So that has some additional 2008 information and some additional information on the in-lieu parking fees for 2009. Pages 2, 3, and the first page of the addendum have information on the 2008 trolley season. The 2008 season, while having the same number of days and hours of operation, differed from the 2007 season in that it went from 2 routes to 3 routes. The city's parking management plan in 2007 in October was adopted by the City Council, and it included a recommendation to basically take what was the existing Route 1, which was a downtown waterfront route, and split it up into 2 routes, so we would have a solely dedicated waterfront route. In addition, the idea was to decrease the headway or the time it takes to complete one loop by 50%, thereby increasing the service frequency, with the idea that people would be coming in, you would be funneling them down into the public parking areas in the outlying spots along the waterfront, and encouraging people to get on the trolley and use the trolley rather than trying to go to the waterfront and look for parking spaces. Sometimes we've seen, the trolley drivers have seen people driving up and down looking for a space. So that was the intent. In addition, what staff did was redesign the second route, which was a north-south route that went to the campgrounds in both the north and south ends of the community. It had a one-hour headway. That, too, saw the headway decrease by 50% and therefore increasing the service frequency, the idea being that those who are in the campgrounds, they have their big RVs, they may not have an additional vehicle, and this provided them more opportunities to get into the downtown and waterfront areas to enjoy the restaurants and the shops, as well as access to the grocery stores, which was something that was of concern, the ability to do that easily. So as you can see, the ridership between 2007, when there were 2 routes, and 2008 increased with these changes by 70%. The waterfront route was the most popular route, with the second highest ridership route being the North Morro Bay route, and that's going from Atascadero State Beach Campground in the north end. It also stops along Atascadero Road, where there are a couple of travel trailer, mobile home parks that are also heavily used. On the pages, I've also provided a breakout. I'm not going to go into detail, but a breakout by each route by hour, as well as a breakout by day by hour. So this gives you an idea of how much ridership for the routes and for each of the individual days. Let's see. The staff was directed at the same meeting in 2007 when the parking management plan was adopted. Staff was also directed to seek grant funding and acquire a new trolley that would become the waterfront trolley. Specific recommendation to eliminate the general fund subsidy for the trolley. And so with that in mind, the staff in developing the budget was looking for ways to increase revenue options without having to use general funds or limit the use of general funds, and in addition to keeping the same amount of days and hours as it had last year. So with that, the staff came up with a budget that you saw at your workshop last week that accomplished elimination of the general fund subsidy in two ways. One was using the in-lieu parking fee fund for operations costs for the waterfront and the downtown trolley. The justification was the same as that which was adopted by council in the resolution a year and a half ago, that there are various parking locations along the downtown route that residents and visitors can be funneled to and then pick up the trolley that has a higher service frequency and move through the downtown and the waterfront areas more easily, and reducing the congestion and reducing the parking congestion. The other additional revenue source was sort of a resurrection and a reinvention of the sponsorship program. When the trolley first started in 1994, there were four $3,000 sponsorships from large organizations, PG&E when they owned the plant, Chevron when they had their facility out north in Estero, and I think it was the Merchants Association and the Hotel Motel Restaurant Association. Over time, those sponsorships were cut back, and eventually those agencies eliminated them, which is why the general fund started to then pick up some of the additional costs for that. So understanding that in these economic times, it's probably extremely unrealistic to seek a $3,000 sponsorship and get it, what we've done is develop a two-tier sponsorship program, a $500 and a $250, to generate $5,000 additional dollars in revenue for the trolley budget. And the idea would be that at the varying levels, there would be some kind of additional perks that the sponsorship would get. For example, for the $500 sponsorship, there's an advertising space you would get on the trolley. Your name would be put on the brochures that are handed out. And as was mentioned earlier by Peter Candela, just from the chamber alone, more than 3,000 of those get handed out each season. And for the lower level, you wouldn't get the advertising space necessarily, but you would get put on the brochure as a sponsor, and that brochure is put on the city's website as well. So these are just some incentives that somebody who wants to become a sponsor, whether it's a business or an individual, would have that. So those were the two primary changes that allowed for developing a budget that would not use any general funds for the 2009 season. So with that, what I have is a modified recommendation that is attached on your addendum, and that is to receive the report on the 2008 trolley season performance, authorize the continued use of in-lieu parking fee funds for the operating costs associated with the operation of the waterfront trolley route for 2009-10, and authorize the use of in-lieu parking fee funds for the operating costs associated with the operation of the downtown trolley route for 2009 and 10. As I mentioned, use of these funds would result in no general funds needed for the trolley program for 910, thereby implementing recommendation 17 from the management partner's assessment of city organization and financial options report, which was to eliminate general fund support from the trolley program. With that, I'd like to turn it over to the council for any questions, comments, and a recommendation.
I got a couple of questions to start off with. What are the fees right now for the trolley?
The current fare is 50 cents for a one-way trip, and there is an all-day ticket that is available for $2, and that is good for one day and for all three routes. So that would facilitate those who are coming in from one of the other routes to transfer onto a waterfront route to get you down to the waterfront.
And at what point did we raise those fees, if ever? I think it started out as a quarter, didn't it?
It started out as a quarter. It's kind of, I think it bopped around to 50 cents one year and then went back to a quarter. I think this latest, the 50 cent and the two-day all-day ticket has been in effect for at least 2 years, maybe three.
Okay, that's what I thought. A couple of other questions. If we sell the surplus trolley, any idea how much that would generate, ballpark? Enough for the audit is what I'm looking for.
Molly trolleys, which is the 1985 trolley, is a Molly trolley which has been refurbished. It has a fairly new engine. I think the new engine's maybe 5 years.
Okay.
Kind of as far as going out to in a public meeting and out to the airwaves. What that the $5,000 sponsorship revenue equates to, what I was factoring was five people or businesses at the 500 level and 10 at the 250. So that was really just kind of throwing that out. It seemed like it might be a more doable number than having a higher amount that you would require fewer people needing to participate in.
Okay. Let's start with Noah. Questions?
A couple of questions, and we did talk about this earlier, and I think it's more of a question that would be for the sake of the council, is the conversation about a survey, and really at this point we have been doing, we're in a bit of a middle ground, and there's some more decisions coming up in the future, and Ms. Burlingame suggested that there is a format and a simple application method for a survey that would give us some more details going into the upcoming years about the type of ridership breakdown between locals and tourists and some other things that may be deemed appropriate from the department that would give us some more information to play with. And I guess my question would be generally, when was the last time that we did survey from the trolley, and indeed give Ms. Burlingame the chance to elaborate on that as a component to this.
I don't remember the specific date, but I believe it was at least 7 years or more when that survey was done. And at that point in time, it was really just to identify, are there any local people riding it? And at that point, it was somewhere between 15% and 20% of the ridership was locals, that being Morro Bay, and there was a few from Los Osos. So by doing a survey now would see whether those percentages have changed over the years. I know there has been some dial-a-ride riders who, when the trolley season began, they're in the North Morro Bay area, and their service for the Regional Transit Authority is pretty limited in getting them into town. And it's less expensive to use the trolley, and I probably shouldn't be saying this on air, but so they would start using the trolley to get into the downtown area and handle some of their business and shopping. So there may be a higher percentage of local riders now than there had been in the past, and so that information would be useful for the council in making future decisions about fares or service and what you want to do.
And do you feel like that request wouldn't be a large burden on your department and also the drivers to administer such a survey?
I don't think so. We're talking you're talking maybe a couple of questions on a quarter page. You want something that's not going to take a lot of time to fill out, and it's really you're just kind of looking for the information of, do you live, you know, what's your zip code, and that's going to determine whether you're within this county or not. And that's, you know, unless there was some other specific information the council wanted to look at, that's kind of what we would be focusing on.
And then just a quick follow-up too on the sponsorship package and the idea too that this is a really amazing program and it offers a lot of value that I think we could build on. And I'm just curious to know if you felt like as another incentive for businesses to be involved and to help encourage participation with the sponsorship, if we did include some tokens, a certain number of tokens with that sponsorship, just to start to highlight the trolley as an option for businesses as far as getting their employees back and forth and to reward great customers as well. So do you think that would be appropriate as an inclusion there as well?
That's certainly something that can be done. In the past when there's been trying to do sponsorships or garner sponsorships or advertisers, they've provided tokens in the past that they could either hand out to their patrons or, as you mentioned, to their employees to encourage use and not parking in the immediate area.
Carla?
Ms. Burlingame, who runs the slow trolley?
The City of San Luis Obispo's trolley is run by the City of San Luis Obispo, and they're under contract with First Transit, I believe.
So they run it themselves also?
Yes.
Do you know what their fare is?
It had been free in the past, but I don't know if that is the case any longer. I'm being told by Rob Leivick that he thinks it's a quarter now.
It's a quarter. Thank you. I have a couple of questions. I noticed on Friday and Saturday's ridership, I'm wondering is there any cost savings on the 8 to 9 o'clock? I see the numbers for the whole season were 144 and 250. They equated to 13 riders per that time slot. Is there any cost savings by eliminating that?
When we did the change to the new logo, is that we didn't put a specific dollar amount. We just said it was good for one ride, knowing that potentially that we might be changing fares in the future, and then that way you're not having to dispose of unused tokens that would have no longer be of value.
Did the original ones have a price on them?
No, I think the original ones had a good for one ride and then the old city logo on the back.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you.
Rick?
Hi, Jeannie. Isn't the Molly trolley the only one that's suitable for, like, when we have our annual four-night Christmas parade throughout town because it navigates through the streets where the others won't? And that's one reason we've kind of sentimentally hung on to it.
I don't know if it was because of the size that made it more appropriate for some of the areas that it would go on the Caroline cop car. The 1985 Molly trolley has an open rear porch area, and that was, my understanding is that's kind of where Santa was hanging out, handing out the presents. There are the other trolley does have an open rear section. It has a plastic curtain that gets rolled up, unzipped and rolled up, and so the wheelchair lift is in the back at that point. So Santa can. We have used one of the other trolleys for that, and Santa has made an appearance off the side.
Is it the same wheelbase and turning radius, Molly, and the other?
Yes.
And have you regarding the sponsorships? Have you made an attempt to advertise this in the chamber letter or ever gone to a chamber mixer and had these things out to the folks that are there?
Not yet. That's one of the things that I'd like to start doing with this new sponsorship idea is getting the chamber involved, getting that information out to them because they're the ones that get out into the business community, and those are really the people that we're trying to seek, and that may be more effective than doing a mass mailing from the city business licenses.
Betty?
I have three questions. One has to do with the state parks. What, if anything, do they contribute to our stops there? Do they put up the signs or create a place for us, or is there no participation on their part?
They allow us to put up our trolley stop kiosk. It's basically our little information kiosk that has the route information on there. Beyond that, there's no participation as far as whether it's monetary or anything else.
Okay. And you talked earlier about funneling people to public parking lots in the city. I don't remember that they've been posted that way, so people don't know to go there. Do you have signage for that, or is there an intent to do that?
Part of that has already been completed with the directional signage. As you enter the gateways of the community and get funneled further down into towards the downtown and the waterfront areas, they do put you past those. What we would want to do is a little bit more concerted effort with public education that hasn't happened in the past that would promote more use. Like on the city website, one of the things we've kicked around is the idea of developing a public parking page that you would have that link between the public parking areas and the trolley stops that are right next to it to encourage people to park in those areas and use the trolley.
So the parking signs that direct people to parking don't say then that you can pick up a trolley?
At this point, no. It's really just more directional to the parking area itself. And then there's usually a trolley stop that's right there or right across the street from there.
Now, I just want to clarify that the $500 or $250 for a sponsorship is per year. Is that right?
Correct, per season.
And does that, if you do that, does that mean you get your name on all three vehicles or just on one vehicle?
No, that would be one trolley advertising space.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. I'd like to see us... Pardon? No. I'd like to see us leave the fare as it is for kids and change it to $1 for over 12, $3 all day. And leave it the 50 cents for the kids and $2 all day. And that way we're going to get at least the adults paying a little bit more. I think that since we don't have parking meters, we have every right to at least charge for the transportation that we provide from parking places, which are free, to our stores and things. So I'd like to see us look at that to offset some of the costs and hopefully sell a lot of sponsorships, because I'm concerned about the cost of this one too. Paula?
Madam Mayor, I just a quick math breakdown here. I broke out the Saturday ridership, and on Friday it comes down to $8.33 a rider from 8 to 9 and $4.94 a rider on Saturday. So it seems very expensive, and I'd be interested in maybe cutting out
hours that aren't productive. That's the reasoning that we use for cutting Saturday service.
Well, and maybe we do that with some of them and not all of them, because if you look at the North Morro Bay route, it's consistent. I mean, it's not that much different. 10 riders, 11 riders, 13 riders throughout the day.
But certainly the downtown could be cut.
I'm sorry?
I see what you're saying, and yeah, certainly the downtown route could be cut early.
Yeah, maybe we cut the routes that are low and perhaps leave the North Morro Bay one at least till 8 o'clock, which is when it seems to really drop off. Any idea what kind of savings we'd have if we did something like that?
Well, I would hesitate cutting hours on one route and not another, as that would create a lot of confusion. Mm-hmm. I would think if you're looking at cutting evening hours that are unproductive, you should cut them across the board. That way you're not creating confusion. Someone's going to have to remember, hey, we're on the waterfront route, and, okay, we are going to North Morro Bay, but that would not be a good scene.
In terms of finance, to answer your question, Madam Mayor, if there's about $1,200 per hour in savings, if we cut 2 hours each night, what I did was cut 3 hours each night, and that's about $25,000 savings, which covers the report.
I wouldn't want to cut it back to only 6 o'clock. I mean, that does eliminate dinner. You can't go to dinner before 6 o'clock. You can't go to a movie. If you go to a 4 o'clock movie, you're going to be stuck. You can't get home.
Then I would suggest we cut it at 7.
Yeah, I can see cutting the last 2 hours, 7 to 9.
A couple of comments here. Yeah. I think the last 2 hours is definitely worth consideration. One thing that I think that I'm expecting, especially with a more developed promotional package, and especially with the 70% increase over 2007 and 2008, I think just starting to get into the real potential ridership of this, and I am comfortable with cutting some hours because the potential is if we do ever achieve the goal of creating a more lively, focused, late night Morro Bay type of an event that happens monthly or whatever through the Chamber of Commerce, that we could bring back service for that specific night. So we're not cutting all options there as far as those focused programs. So I'm supportive of definitely cutting the last hour, and I think I'd vote for cutting the last two, as been mentioned.
What about, is this going to create confusion, too, if we only cut the last 2 hours on weeknights instead of weekends? Is there a...
I'd do both.
No, it's weekends.
Is there a big difference?
It's weekends,
I would cut every day.
Weeknights. The weeknights are already done at 6 o'clock.
Oh,
Sunday,
sorry,
and Monday are already done at 6. We're
okay.
Talking Friday,
sorry,
and Saturday.
And actually,
that.
Monday ends at 5.
Okay.
And Sunday ends at 6.
Okay. All right. What's everybody think about raising the fees as suggested?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry?
Might be a pending agenda item.
I don't know. We're talking about it now. I think we can do this now. We can talk about fees now, can't we, Rob?
It's just for the performance. You can provide direction on what rates to bring back at a later date.
Okay.
Can we do that at budget on Wednesday?
Okay.
Thank you.
So we can discuss it now and say, okay, Wednesday we'll finalize it or whatever. Okay. All right. Well, what do you think about doubling it for adults over 12?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Okay. Absolutely. And I support the cutback on the 2 hours.
Okay.
On the weekend.
All right. So we're looking at cutting 2 hours from 7 to 9. And we're looking at, for over 12, $1 one way, $3 all day. And the rate for kids remain the same.
And just for clarification on the service reduction, is that on Saturday only or Friday,
Friday
and Saturday?
Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday.
And I'd like to also look into selling our excess trolley.
Yeah, yes. I'd like to find out from Ms. Layton if we can use the funds from that to do the audit.
A 1984 Molly is going for $35,000 in Arizona.
$35,000?
And I believe that would have a refurbished engine.
Cool. We should do a big raffle.
Can we lower the AR fares then?
That's what it's going for. And there's some for $20,000, but that was the one that was the closest to our year. They also have a double decker for $400,000.
Okay. So can we find out about if the funds, where the funds going, about the opportunity?
Yeah, we'll find out from Susan if that's okay to use it, because I know there's some restrictions on things like that sometimes. Okay.
I had a couple last quick comments. One was the request to include a simple survey for this summer. Mm-hmm. Should we include that with...
And have them be independent does not mean you take it out of your parking in lieu fund. And so I stretch it to get it to the waterfront. And as long as we don't have directional signs that connect people to the trolley at the parking, I don't see a nexus for doing the downtown.
And that'll be on your agenda for Wednesday night as a budget item, so I think you'll have that discussion.
So by Wednesday, could we have the figures of what we're going to be saving by cutting the hours there, and then we'll know where that'll fit into our budgeting?
Yeah, the I can have those for the... the expenditure cuts for the service hours. The fares are going to be a little trickier to try to come up with a number to include in the budget, but we'd have to develop something for the budget. And then at that point, there would be a change to the in-lieu parking fee amount that you would then have for your budget for consideration.
Okay. So we can decide whether we want to do that from in-lieu or from general.
Right. I just want to alert ourselves to have that discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we all want to have that discussion.
Can I ask Ms. Burlingham one more question? My question is there any intent at any point to privatize the trolley use? In Solvang, where I grew up, the trolley that runs there is privately run, not done through the city. Is there any intent towards that, the chamber, somebody running it at some point?
Not that I am aware of. Are you meaning like if the chamber is interested in operating its own trolley service? I have not heard anything like that.
Or our trolley service. I mean, I know other communities that's privatized rather than through the city. So, thank you.
Okay, anything else on this one?
Yeah, I did just want to briefly touch base on the youth pass, which is at $25 for the whole summer. I think it's an amazing value. Under 17 can ride both Dial-A-Ride and the trolley, and I think that's excellent. I did have an interest in perhaps including the study of an adult summer pass within the triennial budget or triennial survey audit that's going to be happening. So we could look at that as a consideration to expand into once that survey and audit has been completed. And just curious to know if Ms. Burlingame, if you think that would be worthwhile or possible, and if then the council would be interested in at least the potential of that.
That's certainly something if the council's interested in having the consultant take a look at, and whether it would fall under the purview of the performance audit or as a recommendation to have your next five-year plan look at that type of pass. Okay. That can be done.
Would this be similar to the punch pass? Is that what you're thinking with Dial-A-Ride?
I'm thinking that, or structured in a similar way as the youth pass itself.
For the 3 months?
Yeah, for those 3 months.
Would you like a motion?
Sure.
I would move that we cut hours of service to 7 o'clock on days that do not currently already end at 6 o'clock, and that we raise adult fares to $2. I'm sorry, to $1, and the all-day fare to $3.
A dollar for over 12. Is that okay? 12
years adult. Old. You don't want me to say adult. You want to say over 12.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Yes, you're both reaching for microphones. What did we do wrong? I was going to say, would you like to include the survey on that motion?
Yes, please. Thank you. I meant to.
And we'll bring that as a formalized action so that it's noticed properly for that action to be taken. So it'll come back to you again.
All right, but not Wednesday?
Yeah, well, I think it's up to whether Janine can have that ready, but I think we can.
Okay. Bridget, are you clear? Huh? I'm being very careful to make sure Bridget is clear. Are you clear on that motion?
I wasn't so clear about how the survey worked into that motion.
That's Andrea's fault.
That a summer survey will be taken? Of ridership regarding where they come from.
Okay.
Do we need anything about the sale of Molly?
I don't know. Do you need a motion
on... It's not a performance thing.
Selling Molly? Do you need a motion on selling Molly? It sounds so cruel when we give it a name.
That's the name of the manufacturer.
All right, any more discussion? Rick?
Comment question regarding the general traffic.
And so if they're wanting brochures, we can provide those to them. If they just want a flyer to put up in the window or have next to the counter when people check in, we can provide that as well. So that already has been in place, and it's something we would be doing for this season as well. Maybe what we could have Ms. Brown do is just maybe providing more brochures and just leaving them for people this time around, and making sure that there's a little bit more focused effort with the motels, and seeing if they would be willing to kind of point it out a little bit more when people are checking in.
Has there been any interaction with the Community Promotions Committee on the promotion of the service?
No.
That might be a venue to use, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally support Mr. Grantham in the effort to increase the awareness of this, because it's really exciting. I think we've got a lot of potential here to jam it packed.
And I know the solicitation for advertising on it's gone out because I've received mine at my business already, and the packages are pretty standard. And I will tell you right now, Ms. Burlingame, they'll probably take advantage of being one of your first sponsors. So thank you.
Yay.
That's a great deal.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. Item D2, we'll bounce across the other side and have Joe Woods again. Okay. Consideration of co-sponsorship of the 2009 Dahlia Days celebration.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council. The Morro Bay Garden Club sponsors an annual event that celebrates the Morro Bay City's official flower, the dahlia. The Dahlia Days event has increased in popularity over the last couple of years since its inception, and the club is seeking a larger venue for their third annual celebration, August the 15th, 2009. In co-sponsoring the Dahlia Days event, the club itself would benefit from a reduced assessed fees for the facility use, and obviously they could reallocate those revenues within their program or enhance this year's or next year's event. The city, on the other hand, in co-sponsoring it, would show its support for another local group, which we have a goal to do, and also in supporting them and their efforts to attracting visitors to our city. The financial impact to the city would be the difference between the nonprofit rate and the direct cost rate. And staff has provided you a nonprofit rate for this event at $228. We've also outlined the cost for just applying direct fees, which is $100.50 for this event, the difference being $127.50 for the six-hour event to include the kitchen. Staff would note that the Garden Club has, from what I understand, a separate letter that was addressed to council. They're requesting a fee waiver. That's certainly an option you can consider, but staff has shown you direct cost, which could be applied for the co-sponsorship, as well as if there was not co-sponsored, those direct and indirect costs. That concludes my report. Be happy to answer questions at this time.
Yes, Rick.
Joe, are people charged any kind of a fee that go to this, or is it just all free for folks coming in?
One moment. There will not be a fee charged for this event.
Okay. You know, I realize it's the Morro Bay Flower, and there's a lot of good things about it, and some really great people run it that do a lot of stuff for the city. But having said that, we're not breaking even by any stretch of the imagination when it comes to fees for park and recs and renting facilities and this kind of thing. And there's other groups and organizations that are really good too that, you know, would like the same kind of deal. So having said all those things, I would like to, you know, make everybody happy and do this, but I can't do that. We have to realize at least a portion of the costs that it costs the city to rent these facilities out.
I would support Mr. Grantham's position. I know there's lots of good clubs, and I know that others would love for us to sponsor them so they can get cut rates. But and I understand that they don't charge right now, and that would be their choice. And I agree that we need to recoup our costs. And it's $38 an hour for 6 hours, so I think it's fairly reasonable.
Noah?
This was a tough one for me because you probably are aware I'm involved with the organization of Waterfest, and it's a slightly different conversation there, but we feel like there's going to be benefits to the city for this event, obviously, and then also for others. So.
And then we can extend more help to more people the more people that come to the fundraiser follies. So at this point, I think, yeah, we have to ask them to pay their costs. But hopefully we can help them with some fees next year with the Follies.
I have a question about the fundraiser Follies. I know on the list that you brought to the council, mm-hmm. you had organizations listed out in the amounts that they could have, but some of those had not collected their funds or asked for them. Mm-hmm. Would there still be money there for the Dahlia Days that hasn't been collected, or maybe we shouldn't be outlining who gets it and make it kind of like we used to do with the aid to agencies and let them say what they'd like and then deal it out that way. Just, I mean, that's a different operating policy. It's a different discussion. But my question is there not money this year that could go to Dahlia Days?
Well, the reason for allocating it is so that the events know what they can count on. And some of the events have already happened, so they've got their allocations in mind, and the others that are planning know. So I hesitate to change that now after we've approved it and let them know. But certainly next year, and I want to have my Fundraiser Follies committee talk about that, you know, where, what do we want to be the goal? The goal is to support events that bring people in to our motels and our restaurants and everything. Does the Pooch Parade do that? I don't know. But certainly it brings a lot of people to, you know, to the city park. I don't know if it brings a lot of revenue in. So we need to really look at that and come back to the council with a little bit more specific definition, I think. Mm-hmm. And we will be doing that before next year. But as for this year, I think it's probably better in my mind to leave the funds as we allocated them. So.
Mayor Peters, did we allocate them specifically, or did you just have them broken down in that category? I appreciate that. Was it specific?
Yeah, it was very specific.
Because I will have to agree with Councilmember Wendholz that some of those committees will never ask for that money. So,
We'll see. We'll see. If they don't want it this year, certainly we can have it available for next year. Okay, so what kind of a motion? Oh, we need a motion to not support this then, right? Okay.
I move that the City Council not support the co-sponsorship of the City of the Morro Bay. Sponsorship of the City and the Morro Bay Garden Club with the annual Dahlia Days event. August 15th, 09 at Morro Bay Community Center.
Do I hear a second? Okay. Second by Betty. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. Item D3. Report on the Citizens Bike Committee's letter of recommendation on the City Bikeways Plan. Rob, it's been a long wait.
Yes. Good evening, Madam Mayor, City Council. This is a report on the Citizens Bike Committee letter of recommendations on the City's Bikeway Plan. This item is coming to you by way of an item that was brought to you on March 9th for the North Main bike lane updates. At that meeting, staff was directed to prepare the city's bicycle transportation plan and come back with potential funding sources for the North Main Street bike lane improvements and survey businesses along North Main. A bicycle transportation plan is required for to receive Bicycle Transportation Act grant funds. That's another reason that we will be preparing this plan. Many of these items listed in the Morro Bay Citizens Bike Committee unmet needs are eligible for grant funding, so they need to be analyzed in our bicycle transportation plan, and we'll be bringing that back to you for a formal action. There is no formal action required this report, just really what we're asking for is input from the council and from any members of the public on these elements and any other potential elements that maybe need to be looked at in our bicycle transportation plan. Thank you. That ends my report, and return it to council for your discussion.
Okay. Questions?
I have a question. When you talk about grant funding, are you referring to that 2% or 3% that must be out of transit and go to bikeways?
No, this is a separate funding source that is available through the Bicycle Transportation Act that the city really has never been eligible to receive. The 2% or 3% out of the Transportation Development Act funds, the TDA funds, we get out of right. And I think we have a pool of approximately $30,000 in that account right now.
And does that go specifically for certain items, or can it be used for doing some of the striping that's suggested here?
Yes, it can be used for, and that's traditionally what it's been used for, is
HIJ and K, and with that goes a Class 3 designation. I don't know if Class 3 can even be striped, can it, Mr. Liebig?
Class 3 is a sign route
just
that
a sign,
notifying
not
that
a
is,
even straighter.
Is a bike route.
Okay. So maybe we could just use elevate those as being signed then as signage. I have to say that I hear what the bike committee is saying about F and E, but I'm not particularly in favor of F. Which the Tide Avenue making it a one-way vehicular direction, and I'm not sure that would go over in the neighborhood down there. We'd have to get input from them. And I'm not sure at this point with the not knowing what's going on with Dynegy whether it's realistic to look for a bikeway through that property.
And I sat in on the bike committee meeting, and actually I suggested F. And I definitely agree with you. I think that is a much more complex decision there that I wouldn't want to fast track, but to follow the process, make sure that the neighborhood felt like they had participation in.
Mm-hmm.
The other component is from the bike committee's perspective, the concept was to get these ideas out there so they're included with the list, and we can go from there as things become feasible or are realistically not at that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Rick?
So, Rob, we've got approximately one-tenth of the money earmarked for striping that we need to have. Is that right?
Approximately. We have one-tenth of the money that is earmarked for bicycle improvements that would be needed for North Main bike lanes.
And where's this other money coming from?
It would need to come from bicycle Transportation Act grants, or we have scored very high in ARRA list for this project. It's one of the projects that SLOCOG is recommending to the CTC for their approval for this for these North Main bike lane improvements.
So we're not really looking or asking for any future general fund money to support this?
No, we're not.
Good. Because the Dahlia people are already mad at me. I didn't want the bike people being pissed off, too.
I had one thing to add in here, and it's a question, and it has to do with the addendum that we received about bike racks. And the concept has been discussed that maybe it's a bad time to bring this up, because I'll be talking, asking you, Ms. Luker, about the city's previous adopt-a-rack, the council's previous support of an adopt-a-rack concept, and Mr. Lavick and I have had some conversation about this, and it seems like that sort of a program might be a good way to start to address this rack issue in a self-funding manner that would be kind of fun and exciting for bike enthusiasts. Do you have any comments about that, and is there something that we can do to maybe support that?
You know, Rob Liebig talked to me a little bit about that at the break, and I remember enough to remember that we dealt with that issue. We may have had a formalized program. I can't remember. I know that we took it to R&P. I believe we might have brought it to council, but we can look back on our minutes and see. I know that we dealt with the issue, and we may have formalized that program. If not, we perhaps got right up to that step. So we can take a look and see where we left that.
I would totally support that. I think it's and I had that idea that we need to resurrect that. We've got lots of benches in towns right now and lots of trees, and maybe we need to start dedicating bike racks.
Okay. Excellent. Would you want that as a formal motion as well?
I don't think we need that. I made a note, and we can look back and see what we've done with it.
Okay.
Okay, so is there any direction you need tonight? Or?
No, we took notes on the items, and this will all be coming back to you again in the bicycle transportation plan for your action.
Okay. Thank you. All right, now we go on to our emergency item, which we will call D4. This came up at the mayor's meeting Friday. Tony Ferrara of Oro Grande works with the league, and also David Mullinax, who was here at our last meeting, was present, and they told us about the plans in Sacramento. They rather expect that all of the measures on the election are going to fail, and so they already have this in mind, that they're going to take away our property taxes to balance their budget. Well, not to balance their budget, to get to attempt to pretend that they're balancing their budget. And so basically the league is saying, okay, we can't just be weak on this. It's going to take a real grassroots effort. We're going to have to really fight. Up to this time, the governor has been really supportive of the cities, and we have worked with him.
I don't think we put in numbers today.
Okay.
But we can certainly follow up with that.
Because the league was going to come up with specifics for each city.
Thank you, yes.
All right, so discussion, questions, concerns?
Well, I don't know. Is there concerns, I guess, would be the question to the city manager or city attorney. Is there any downside to us doing this?
Any downsides? None? Okay.
No.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Sure.
Move to approve Resolution 23-09.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. All right. Future agenda items. Anybody?
I do. The County Water Resources Advisory Committee is asking each of the jurisdictions to consider a resolution that would help form an MOU around the earworm. The earworm is our county water plan. We're our own water district. And the way the state's going with that, well, it's a justification. What I want to do is agendize it, and I can fill in the discussion at that point.
Okay. All right, I would too. Yeah.
I'd also like to suggest that we pass a resolution thanking Mr. Zodovich as being principal. He's retiring this year, and it's timely to get it on now before graduation in June, that maybe we could pass something at the next city council meeting.
Okay.
As a thank you type thing.
Would you like to draft something for us?
I could.
I bet Ms. Luker could, too.
Well, that's true. I think you and Andrea should
I'm happy to help with that.
Together.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
No problem.
I would support
And then
that.
The RAC thing, I'm not sure how soon that needs to be done, but probably in a timely fashion in the next 3 to
Okay. Bike racks.
3 months, probably. If not sooner. I don't know. It'll be going around. It'll take a while for all the jurisdictions to get to it.
Okay.
So Ms. Winholz is talking about the RAC and not bike racks.
Right. Thank you. The WRAC.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry.
That's what I thought, too.
The water, it's the Water Resources Advisory Committee is coming, is asking all the jurisdictions to look at an MOU.
That was the first thing that you said.
That was the
yes.
first thing, right.
Yes.
And that's
okay.
probably what needs to be done in a timely fashion
okay.
in the next few months.
Okay.
And then, of course, the letter needs to be done by the next meeting. And I would be interested in, and maybe this is just a request of staff, I don't know if you want council direction, but I'd like to see as we've raised the fees now for the DAR and for the dial-a-ride and for the trolley, I'd like some kind of audit done in terms of like in 6 to 8, 9 months has our ridership dropped off. Mm-hmm. I want to know if it's maintained or dropped off, and I don't know if that needs to come back to us or if in order to give direction to say we'd like to see that happen.
How about a mid-year budget review?
That could be happening in January.
Okay. Support for that?
Do we need that as a council agenda item, or can we just give direction to our city manager?
I think
we
just direction
or
to
Ms.
add
Burlingame?
To a mid-year budget review the information about as to whether it's been successful.
We,
or not.
We can do that, or we can bring it back to you in that time frame in a memo form. Either way,
yeah.
If
okay.
you prefer mid-year budget, that's
doesn't matter.
Okay.
And then my last one is regarding the North Point boundary. That be clarified. Signage clarify where that is so people don't feel.
Do we need that to be an agenda item, or can we just go ahead and do that? Ask State Parks to.
Excuse me. We can research that. I think we've got a a parcel map of that property, so we can research that. And how about if we bring that back to you just in a memo form? Is that acceptable?
Yeah. And then depending on what that says, I'm not looking for fences and boundaries, but clarity so people can say, okay, I can go this far. I need to turn this direction, not this direction.
So maybe what we can do as staff is bring back the information on the boundary and this staff. This is what we plan on doing, and then if the council has concerns about that, they can agenda. Or bring it back at another meeting?
That'd be great.
Perfect.
Okay. Rick, anything? Noah?
Carla. All right, my closing quote tonight is from Marie Osmond. If you're going to be able to look back on something and laugh about it, you might as well laugh about it now. With that, we're adjourned until our budget meeting on Wednesday. Thank you.
Nice meeting. Got all your work done? You only lost by, missed by 11 minutes.
Pretty good.
That was good. That was actually a good one. We got everything done. Betty, maybe the end of this week, the beginning of next week, and work on our Pete Zotovich.